This is Songs to Discuss
with your daughter,
with Willa Krishnaswamy
and Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter team.
Produced by Copilot Music and Sound.
Welcome back, listeners.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Willa.
We are kind of away for a week, but guess what episode this is?
24.
Wow. Crazy. Remember when this is just like a fantasy? Like, Dad, why don't we start a podcast?
I know. Little did I know.
You know, I always hate it when people are like, just manifest your dreams and they'll happen. I hate it when people say that. Or they're like, just put in the effort and your dreams will come true. And no dream is ever not possible if you work for it. But we're here today, so.
We're living the dream of hosting a podcast.
With like less than 100 listeners. But that's okay, because soon we will grow and patience is key to, I guess, getting the algorithm to work for you.
We're one episode away from breaking out. I can feel it.
Yes.
So if you're new to the podcast, my name is Ravi.
And my name is Willa, and we're the Krishnaswamys.
And we're a dad and daughter team.
Yes.
Talking about popular music.
Mostly pop, yeah. Sometimes we do some oldies or 80s songs or whatever, but mostly pop, like literally songs you'll hear on the radio.
You can find us at Songs to Discuss is our Instagram handle.
Yeah, and on Facebook, just put in Songs to Discuss with your daughter. We do have a Facebook page, although we are much more active on Instagram with behind-the-scenes updates and all of that. And I know we're not that big yet, but we will soon be. And yes, so if you're new here, Dad, let's just say what we do, in case you're new here.
I'm a musician, composer, studying musicology in a PhD program now, music producer.
And founder of Copilot Music and Sound.
Co-founder with my friend Jason.
And I am a sixth grader. And a gymnast, so.
But if you started listening from episode one, you'd know that this podcast started during fifth grade.
Yes, you would know that. So yeah. Now I'm in sixth grade.
Moving on up.
But I meant, Dad, what we do as in, like, our podcast.
Oh, that. Yeah. So. Well, we try to go behind the scenes and kind of figure things out.
And we
figure out why we like things or don't like things.
We do like a deep dive into songs and analyze them because you're the musicologist team.
Yeah.
So our format is I ask the questions, you answer them.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody who's been listening.
I guess in some episodes we kind of, yes, thank you very much. We're very grateful. But I guess in some episodes we're sort of imitating, or not really imitating, but kind of mimicking, well, that's the same thing actually, Switch Tom Pop, our inspiration. I guess we're a kid-friendly version.
Not that Switched on Pop is kid-unfriendly, but...
No, it's not, but it's just like...
It can be. And it's just different. This is for a wider range of ages. Yeah.
But that is not to say if you're an adult, you have to stop listening. Because if you're an adult, we... Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. We are very grateful for the very few listeners we have, but the... listeners we do have, so yeah,
make sure to smash the 5-star button on Apple Podcasts.
Yes,
and leave us a review.
Some people have asked me, they're like, where do we write the reviews on Spotify? And there actually isn't a place where you can write a review on Spotify unless I am just completely stupid and I haven't discovered that yet, but I'm pretty sure there isn't. And so please go on to Apple Podcasts if you have an Apple phone. Should be pre-downloaded, whatever. Search in Songs to Discuss with Your Daughter. Leave a review down there. Subscribe. Follow. Yes, on Instagram at Songs to Discuss. Send this to 3 people who would like this. Send this to people. Word of mouth. Get this out there. Just talk to someone. Oh, have you heard of this podcast? So, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And now a word from our sponsors. All right.
Okay.
So, what are we talking about?
We are talking about Bad Habits by Ed Sheeran.
Finally getting to Ed Sheeran.
Yes. We're kind of slowly covering all big pop names.
Mm-hmm. It was inevitable we were going to get to Ed.
Sometime, one day or another.
You want to tell us a little bit about Ed Sheeran? Did you research him at all? On the Wiccanator? He's basically a songwriter, dude.
He's a singer-songwriter. He's English. He has red hair. He has tattoos.
All the important details. He has red hair.
I think he's a dad.
That's important.
Yes, he. Yeah, he's. He has like an MBE, whatever that means in England.
Some sort of title of honor.
Yes. If you're English, tell us.
Globally, Spotify named him the second most streamed artist of the decade.
Second most streamed artist of the decade? Yeah. Might we guess who the first is? I really hope it's not Justin Bieber. That would like stink if it were him.
He's an alumnus of the National Youth Theatre in London. And he did have a cameo in Game of Thrones. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he was like a knight. Dude, not a knight, but like a soldier dude at a campfire.
He sang
a campfire song.
Did he go to college? Seems like a lot of artists go like right after high school. They just kind of make their way into the business.
Began studying music at the Academy of Contemporary Music in Guildford, England. As an undergraduate, age 18, but left. He dropped out to support hip-hop artist Just Jack. So, there you go. He's a college dropout.
So, yeah, if you are somebody who doesn't listen to this kind of music, like, you listen to folk, indie, rock, whatever, if you're, if you don't listen, then... you should know Ed Sheeran is like the biggest name ever in pop. You probably heard at least one of his songs.
There's a great New York Times video of him explaining how he came up with Shape of You.
Really?
Yes.
We should watch that.
Yeah, it's great. And it's like with him and a producer that he worked with on it. And they sort of talk about their process. Yeah. What's your favorite Ed Sheeran song?
Me?
Yeah.
4 years ago, no, not 4 years ago, not that long ago, I'm not that old, Willa, you're pretty young. sorry, my apologies. I'm on recording now. But probably 2 years ago, I would have said Castle on the Hill. But now,
That's a good song.
Castle on the Hill?
Yeah.
Right now, probably I'd say Bad Habits. I like that song right now.
Well, without further ado, should we listen to a little bit of it?
Yeah, so this is the song we're covering. Let's play an excerpt.
Okay.
Bad Habits by Ed Sheeran.
Every time you come around, you know I can't say no. Every time the sun goes down, I let you take control. I can feel the paradise before.
Song?
There is.
Let's move ahead to that.
Every pure intention.
Let's see. It's probably, yeah, it's around here.
Too, it's true.
Well, also, we highly encourage you to go and listen to the full song. Actually, even better. I mean, I know a lot of people listen to podcasts in the car, but even better if you just happen to be in a situation where you can do this. Watch the music video. It is an amazing, but also
we're going to talk about the music video.
Disorienting, too. Kind of music video.
Disturbing.
Please watch it. Yes. Or at least listen to the full song. And actually, Dad, we'd been mentioning we had a playlist of all the songs we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That we realized was not actually put on publicly. So if you haven't been able to find it, Dad, we're sorry.
Right? Yeah. It's public. It's just Spotify's algorithm is not going to necessarily find it if you search for it. So go to our socials and look for the link there. I'll post it again.
Yeah, we're going to post it. And, yeah, so after this episode airs, we'll post a link, and so check our socials. But, Dad, what do you think of this song?
I kind of like it, and I know it hasn't gotten the best reviews.
It hasn't?
But it's, I like it. Yeah, it's...
What have the reviews said?
Well, a lot of the reviews, I think, justifiably accuse him of trying to sound and look like The Weeknd.
Yes, that will you will notice that if you've seen The Weeknd's like Save Your Tears whole thing. But if you go watch the video, you might see it. But he's trying to sound like The Weeknd. He sounds like that to me. They sound like completely different people. He doesn't sound like he's imitating him. It seems like.
Yeah, I mean because okay, so the production is not overtly pulling from the 80s like The Weeknd is. But I think the mood and the aesthetic and the lyrical content is very similar to The Weeknd. It's sort of this kind of dark, foreboding, sort of spare production, not a lot of elements.
What does foreboding mean?
Foreboding means like something bad is going to happen. And it sort of casts him as this, like, problematic protagonist. Like, that he's got problems. And that's The Weeknd's
whole thing.
That's his whole thing.
Not that The Weeknd is a bad person. He's not. But that's, like, the character they're trying to develop.
Yeah. Sort of person with problems that's, like, nearing a breakdown or doing some bad behavior, but underneath it all is probably a good guy, but it's kind of like The Weeknd's persona is a lot like the way that a lot of characters on TV shows for the last 15 years are portrayed. They're not just like wholly good. They're actually probably like bad people or people involved in bad things, but they're maybe good or maybe they have the potential to be good.
So but you like the song despite that?
Yeah, I like the song. I actually, you know, I'm not somebody who knows a lot about Ed Sheeran or his voice.
Nor do you really, are you like a fan of him?
Right. But I actually like his vocal performance on this song.
Yeah.
And I like how things keep dropping out and going back to this bass and drum thing, like these three elements, bass line, drum part, which is just the kick drum and his voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what do you think?
I think it's a good song because it's catchy, and I like catchy songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a good hook. I'm guessing he wrote this, but then also wrote this with someone else, probably. Ed Sheeran actually wrote a song for BTS, remember?
Yeah. I can't keep track of all the collaboration nowadays. It's just like these songwriters collaborate with each other and with artists, and artists are also songwriters, and they're always mixing and matching, and it's very complicated.
But what do you think of Ed Sheeran as like an artist though, not just in this song?
Well, I think he writes some pretty decent songs. Yeah,
yeah.
I think Shape of You is a really good song. I think Castle on the Hill is a really good song. Did you know Thinking Out Loud was involved in a lawsuit?
No, I did not.
Uh-huh.
But I know Thinking Out Loud. I'm thinking out loud, if we found love.
Yeah.
Where we are. That song? It was?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Sued by Marvin Gaye's estate.
Okay, well. That might be for another time. But we should get on with the questions.
Yeah.
So
fire away.
How does the simple, like, I feel like this song has like very like a simplistic vibe with production, but like, how does that make it a good song? And is if there's anything like embedded embedded complexity in it, like a bass line you can't hear, how does the simple production make it a good song and kind of leave room for his voice, and how does that work with the ear? And if there is anything complex, like, what is it?
Well, like, I like when there are a couple of, like, I like when production has some, like, has some sort of tangible linkage with lyrics in terms of storytelling. You know, I tend to think of production as being like this, like, production can in songwriting can function in these theatrical ways. It can be like, can either be like costuming or like set design, where the singer is the character who's talking, but production can come in and like fill out the scene. And that's what I like about this song, is that there is...
So wait, are you saying this one fills out the scene?
Well, it's like really, it's a really simple thing that I caught on to when I first heard the song, but it's that he says, you know, he starts the song, he says, every time you come around, you can't say no. Every time the sun goes down, I let you take control. So in this space, he's talking about the sun going down, which means we don't know what time of day it is. He's sort of outside of time, kind of like thinking about this relationship or this dynamic, right? But then he says, you know, I can feel the paradise before my world implodes, and tonight had something wonderful. And then there's like a big build. And then the first line of that chorus is, my bad habits lead to, it's not even a chorus, it's like the pre-chorus maybe?
Yeah, it's a pre-chorus.
And he goes, my bad habits lead to late nights. And so there's all these, there are these nice melodic parts in the verse stanza. And then all that stuff drops away and it gets dark, like timbrally dark. And it gets like dark in terms of like spare. There's only just drums, bass, and vocal. And the drums and bass, just that pounding burp, 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 makes me feel like now he's in a club, like late at night. And so there's something really visual and satisfying about the way that the production links up with the storytelling and the lyrics. That's the main thing I like about the production.
So kind of, so you're saying kind of when it like, it kind of like...
Let me play that spot again.
Okay, yeah.
And tonight had something
worse.
Yeah. Now we're going into night.
Bad habits lead to late nights.
So now we don't...
Conversations with a
stranger. So now he's in the club and he's doing bad things.
Yeah, I think about that. I guess if we're going to say it as a metaphor, are you saying it's kind of like maybe you're seeing this like whole crowd of people in the verses, and then the camera goes into focus on this one person, and it's like...
Ooh, that's a different way of thinking of it, but I like that. No, for me, it's that like the melodic stuff that you hear in the verse is kind of emotional,
and it's kind of like,
and then when we get into the club, like we're in the club with him, like it takes us in there in the moment, and that kick drum and bass line actually become whatever the DJ is playing in that dance club.
So it's kind of
like, very visual.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. So he's kind of like reflecting on it in the verse, and then and then he's not reflecting so much as actually there doing it.
Then he's like there, describing it. Late nights, staring wide out, whatever he says.
Wide
eyes, stare into space, lose control. Yeah, it's a dark song.
Do any of the reviews positive?
Any of the reviews?
Yeah.
I haven't scoured them. I think some people like the song. I mean, it's done very well. I think it's hit number one, and it stayed on the charts in like the UK for a long time, and in other countries
in the US,
Europe. Yeah,
yeah, I can see how he's kind of mimicking or trying to emulate The Weeknd, but
But it's kind of it's a twisted, it's kind of a dark idea if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, do you, my bad habits lead to you? Like, that's, I wouldn't find that very flattering if I was the you.
Yeah.
And be like, I want to be your good habit, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. That's a good answer to the question. Mm-hmm. Moving on to question two. Question two.
What voice is that?
Moving on to question two. That was a different voice. I don't know.
Okay.
But, yes, question two. I think this is a guitar, but this hook, like, that stays with us throughout, in the intro and throughout the verses, and, yeah, throughout the song, except in the pre-chorus, and in the pre-chorus, this hook, like, I feel like always stays with me, and always stays in my head. I think it's a guitar hook, mm-hmm. but it doesn't sound like pure guitar. It's the hook that goes, can I play it? So, yeah. Everybody, listen to this guitar hook, except it doesn't sound like pure guitar. Okay.
Yeah.
The thing that's going ding 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 ding
that part?
Yes.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of like there's some effect being done on that guitar, but I want to know why it's so like prominent in the song and why it seems like a very important part of the song to me. Like, if that's actually real, just real guitar, or is there some effect put on it? And, like, I don't know, it just seems like a very important part of the song to me, like a synth hook or any something. Like, it just sounds like it's, if the song didn't have that, it would sound incomplete. It's just, like, stays with me. That guitar hook that goes, ding, 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 ding.
It's a hook,
ding,
right?
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, I'll play it again. Yeah, it's a good hook.
Yeah, yeah. It's, so why is it that the hook? I mean, that's just the hook. There's somebody wrote it. Somebody came up with it. And then whether it was him or one of his producers, and then they built a song on top of that, probably.
Probably. But, like, why does that seem like such an important part? Just because it is the hook? Because it's not like the
vocal part. Because there's nothing else there. Like, it's such a sparely produced song. But, yeah, I really like that part because I heard it. And I thought it was a keyboard. But then when I was preparing for this episode, I kind of like, I listened to it again and I was like, I think that is a guitar. Or at least it's very guitaristic. And I picked up my guitar and I figured it out really quickly.
It is a guitar?
So.
Or is it like, is it a pure guitar? Like with no like sounding, like effect? Something computer like help or whatever.
Can we just jiggle?
Yeah, that? Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Okay. No, I think it's a guitar like layered with a keyboard or maybe with a lot of effects on it. So I was trying to recreate the sound with a guitar and I don't think I came that close, but what I did was I pulled up a guitar, I put some. So let me.
Because that sounds like it's like touched up in the computer.
Yeah. So
in your production.
This
software.
Is just a regular. What the guitar sounds like, and then I put it through. Because
I feel like this hook is just so important to the song.
I know. So it'd be nice to know what it is, right?
Yeah, I just want to know like how it would sound on its own without all the vocals layering on top of it.
So this is now guitar going through some amp modeling, and then. Put a compressor on it to even it out.
And that's your electric guitar, so.
That's my electric guitar. It's my Rickenbacker 360 with a capo on the second fret to get it up to, because I heard that first chord and the way that chord is arpeggiated and voiced sounded like that immediately said, that's a guitar playing, because that's how you would arpeggiate an A minor chord. And it's just
with the pick going.
Yeah, and it's just very, the way you arpeggiate chords on a guitar is very specific to the way that guitar strings are tuned.
And so you can kind of tell with the
sound. So you can tell, like that those are the spacings, those are the voicings that you'd normally hear on a guitar. So this is now, just with some amp modeling, now I'm going to turn on some chorus to give it a little more shine and less like out of tuneness. We're getting closer, right?
Yeah. So it's not actually a pure electric guitar. It's kind of like, it's got this. Not
it's
really
definitely got a lot of stuff on it, and it may have some keyboards copying it. And this is the point at which I always say, I can never tell you what they did in the studio.
Yeah,
I can only tell you what I'm hearing and how I might try to recreate it.
Yeah, obviously you can't tell what they actually did, but you're saying, so it's not, so I was almost certain it was guitar, so, but it's not like a pure guitar. It's more of a, I guess, yeah, it's touched up with the computer to make it sound more, like, pleasing
not
to
even,
the ear? Or was
I mean,
it,
these are all pedals that exist outside of the computer. So I don't know how they did it. I'm using the pedals in the computer to make my life easier.
Yeah, is it just, so you're saying they, what they basically did is they put some stuff on?
Yeah, so I'm
sound.
Stepping, right, I'm trying to, right now I'm trying to step through all the effects I've been putting on to try to recreate that sound.
Yeah.
So now I've got chorus on there. But now I want to make it a little washier, so I'm going to add some delay. You hear the little echo?
Yeah.
So now we're getting a little closer.
Oh.
But
so
I want it washier.
They're kind of shining it up. And
now some reverb. Now you hear it's got some nice reverb on it now. But I still wasn't satisfied because I was like, there's something that sounds like an octave above. It doesn't sound like a 12-string guitar, which it could be, where you'd get the octave above because a 12-string has a second string on each note that's pitched an octave higher. So I was thinking it's either doubled with a keyboard part an octave higher, or maybe they've got some sort of octavizer effect. So I put this other plugin on called the Crystallizer made by Sound Toys, and I chose a preset that has an octave above, and now I've got this.
That sounds like it's that. Here, wanna play it to the recording? Wanna
sure.
Play it? Okay, here. That sounds like that's it. It's a little, it's kind of like, I feel like with all the effects done, or pedals, it sounds, sorry, I have like no good terms. It sounds like it's kind of like crystallized, and I guess that's what they do in a lot now with pop music, just to make it sound, I guess not really pleasing, just cleaner, shinier, crystallized. I guess.
Yeah, they make it, I mean, it's just a cool, unique sound. I mean, like, if you're going to put out a pop record and try to, like, get something that people recognize immediately as your song, it really helps to create your own timbre that's unique to the song and to your riff. So instead of just using a regular guitar, a regular piano, a regular keyboard, like, working with your sounds until you get this unique sound that people can instantly recognize just is that song.
Yeah, I would be able to recognize from like that.
But
like,
you see how easy that is for me to play?
Yeah.
That's why I think it was a guitar, because it's very guitaristic and it's very natural to play on the guitar.
Is that even a word, guitaristic?
No.
You
I made it up.
Made it up, yeah.
So do we have more to talk about, or can I just play this riff for a while longer?
It seems like it's a fun riff to play.
It's in my wheelhouse, particularly because it's arpeggiated, which is something that Johnny Marr does a lot.
That's actually what I was actually just going to say. I was going to say, despite all of the shiny, like, well, I guess Johnny Marr does a lot of effects on it, computerizing the sound, too. But despite all that, it kind of sounds like something like that Johnny Marr would do. It's just because I sometimes I hear you practicing, because obviously you're in a tribute band. And it kind of just, it just sounds like his sound, I guess. Obviously, it's Ed Sheeran's sound. Well, not his, he doesn't own that
sound. Yeah, it reminds me of the riff from Some Girls Are Bigger Than Others, which would go... Wow, it feels good to play that riff. It's been too long.
It has? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you haven't played it in so long.
I know.
Yeah. That's another thing.
That's another story. Oop. That stopped us for a second. Okay. We're back. So, next question.
All right, next question. So, question three. Yeah, if you could, would you play that like a little... all day.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Very satisfying to play.
Yeah, because it seems like it always resolves. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, like, left uncertain. Okay, anyways. I don't have any guitar questions, unfortunately, but...
That's all right.
That's okay. So, question three. Relating to his vocal performance, since you mentioned it was, like, very good, like, how does that kind of element to the song actually make it, like, better? Like, or how does it kind of, like, why did it affect your opinion about it? With like, any pop song, not just, I guess, Bad Habits, why does the vocal production matter? And specifically, why does it matter in this song?
Well,
why is it, like, important?
So let's just clarify between vocal production and vocal performance.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said production. My bad. I meant... Performance.
Yeah.
Yes, I meant vocal performance. Sorry.
I mean, I think, look, I get sort of, I keep learning this lesson slowly the longer I get in the tooth as a songwriter and musician, that no matter how cool your chord changes are or groundbreaking your guitar timbre and settings are and playing are and the amount of horns you put, whatever you do, like, your song is going to live or die by the vocal performance. The vocal performance is what people are there for. Everything else kind of supports that. And
so, like, specifically for this song.
So specifically for this song, it's not flashy. It's just there's a rawness to when he says my bad habits. When he kicks into that part, it almost sounds like his voice is, like, a little scratchy, like...
Yeah, can I like play this part out of the bridge he sounds?
Yeah.
Kind of like, yeah. And this will be the last, but it probably won't. Listen to this. It does sound very pure and raw.
Yeah, just that... Like, that's a very bad...
Yeah.
Bad impression. but it's like he just gets scratchy on that note. When he kicks into that part.
No, that's not good. That's really bad.
It really kind of supports that whole, like, been out all night, you know, abusing my body in all sorts of ways, kind of, you know, drinking, you know, smoking, whatever.
Unkid appropriate stuff.
I know, sorry. Well, you're aware that people do that.
I am aware, Dad. I'm not a dummy.
Yeah, and I think that his timbre being very kind of bare, like, scratchy there, like, makes me... It, just like the production puts me in the club, that timbre also puts me into that, like, ooh, he's not living a healthy lifestyle right now.
Yeah.
Like, he sounds like at the end of his line, you know, physically.
Yeah. Hopefully Ed Sheeran isn't wrecking his voice with that stuff.
Ed Sheeran's fine. I'm sure he laid down that vocal and then sat back on the stool and took a sip of his lemon zinger tea with honey in it and said, "Do you like that take?" Something like that. That's what I'm imagining.
So you're kind of saying with the way he kind of sounds, it kind of like brings about, or like, I guess, like, reinforces the whole thing about, like, I'm doing all this bad stuff. They're all my bad habits. I wish I could stop. Like,
yeah, It's like,
and it's a very important piece to the song because he can show that, like, even though he's kind of acting it, he can show that he's like doing this, that stuff depending on the way he's singing.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps I'm reading too much into all of this, but like sometimes you get like pop songs that are like a million ideas stewed together to try to like be successful, and sometimes you get songs that are just kind of simple and everything works and everything supports the idea, and the idea is clear. And that's what I like about this. The idea is clear, the story is clear, the production supports it, and the vocal performance supports
it. Yeah, and you said the production was very kind of clean, not much to it.
Mm-hmm.
So is that kind of because, that kind of leaves more room that focuses in on the vocal performance?
Yeah, it lets you hear that.
Yeah.
That nuance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question four.
What is that voice? Question four.
I don't know. It's my voice. So, in the pre-chorus, so I'm kind of going back to this idea where the verses are kind of very melodic and emotional or whatever, and then in the chorus, or in the pre-chorus, it's kind of like gets dark and you're in the club.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen to this in the pre-chorus. So you hear this kind of
control.
Oh, we're coming up.
I can feel the paradise before my world implodes.
Okay, here we go. We're getting into it. So at first I kind of thought that was just like a beat, like a drum, but it seems almost, because it seems like kind of like a metronome or almost in the song. It's kind of like keeping it in order, like.
It's called the four on the floor. Have you ever heard that term?
No, I have not. But I was going to say, but then I hear that it's kind of got some pitch to it. So here you hear
it. It's got a bass line.
The stranger, I barely know. Swearing this will be the last, but it...
So that's a bass line?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was like a kick drum or a drum.
It's...
Because don't kick drums have like a similar kind of feel?
They're in the similar frequency range, but there is a bass line, and the bass line is playing on the upbeats. Which is a good production technique in EDM, because if you have a bass instrument, if you have a kick drum, which is a bass instrument, and a bass line, which is a bass instrument, and you have them playing at the same time, they get muddy, and they compete.
Oh, so there's a kick drum also in here?
So it's kick... Kick bass, kick bass, kick bass, kick bass.
Oh, so here.
Probably won't. I got nothing left to lose.
I hear it. So that almost metronome like beat that's mm-hmm. in the pre-chorus, that kind of like you hear like the DJ or whatever in the club or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kick drum.
Kick and bass synth.
Interesting. And so what is this four on the floor you speak of?
Four on the floor is like what you call that sort of. It's the most simple rhythm you can write, which is
like very orderly kind of
4/4 rhythm with a kick drum on every quarter note. So kick, 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 and it's just a pulse. But they call it four on the floor because, you know, that's what people dance to. It's easy to dance to. You don't need any skill.
Okay.
And it's easy to count because you can hear the drum every time.
Four.
So it's easy for DJs to count because they know when things are going to come in.
Interesting.
So it's easy for them to cross mix with other records or do all sorts of effects. Because, you know, DJs in like techno clubs, they do all sorts of their own mixing and effects to this music that they're playing. Like they have filters on their mixers that can drop out the bass and then add the bass back in. And they've got like... other sound effects that can trigger. They make it a whole show.
Wow.
Your uncle Raji DJed for a long time.
Ah, interesting.
Yes.
Oh, so that's a bass kick floor on the floor. Cool.
Yeah, there you go. That's why, to me, when I hear the four on the floor, I'm immediately in a techno club. Because I've been in a techno club.
And that's kind of why you feel like now
you're... And live to tell about it.
Now you're in the...
Yeah, so I'm like in the club.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, question five. We're getting into the fun questions, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the video.
Oh.
So what are you, my first question is, what are your thoughts? But then also, what is the video? So what are your thoughts? What do you think the video is actually trying to say? How is it like thriller, as you mentioned earlier, off recording? And why is he, or how is he trying to imitate The Weeknd?
Well,
that's
so,
a lot of questions to run at you. I'm sorry.
That's a lot of questions.
But let's just talk about the video and like the whole thing.
Yeah.
So first, you were, I think since I asked the question, you should give the little summary on what happens in the video, what the video's like, if you're not going to watch it, listeners. But afterwards, go watch it. So
the video, he's basically going out, but then he's like in this, he's like putting on this makeup.
He's a zombie.
But yeah, it turns out he's like a vampire. And when that pre-chorus hits and the four on the floor starts, he starts to fly. He's a flying vampire. And like, he's got all these like magical powers where he just like pushes his hand out and people like fall down in front of him. And
he's got kind of this gang of zombies. Sorry, I wasn't close to the mic there.
Yeah, and it looks like it's filmed in a theme park, like a Six Flags, but it looks to me like an old school theme park, like Rye Playland, which is a place, you know, it's kind of like Disneyland, but on a smaller scale, you know, with roller coasters and rides and arcade games and stuff. It looks like Rye Playland after dark, which gives it this whole creepy thing too, because if you've been to like a county fair after dark, it gets really kind of like dangerous. People get into fights and stuff. And also Rye Playland was used in a very famous movie from when I was growing up called Big, which you'll have to watch sometime. That's a total non sequitur. But he's like flying around, and then he like gathers this, he's got this like gang of vampires, and he's got the vampire teeth. But you never see him like sucking anybody's blood. He's just more like flying around and making people fall down.
Yeah, but then it's when it becomes day again, out of the night, he like becomes Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. So the theme of the song, you know, we've been talking about this. We've been kind of dancing around the theme of the song, but the theme of the song is that like basically, this is about somebody that he has a relationship with, but he only sees this person like late at night in the club or something. And so I think the vampire, you know, vampires, they can't deal with daylight. They lose their powers and they, you know, they can't be exposed to daylight. Otherwise they're destroyed. So like they come out at night. So that's why I think he's using that metaphor or that staging in the video. So instead of being in the club, he's a vampire flying around.
Yeah.
So it's the video is not, it's not really literal to the song. It's more like
a metaphor.
Yeah, exactly.
And I see, so relating to The Weeknd, where it's kind of, where the reviews kind of go down.
Well, because The Weeknd has this whole like meta story that's been running through his videos, from Blinding Lights to like, there's definitely a connection between the Blinding Lights and Save Your Tears videos, and he's got this whole persona, this outfit, and the messed up face that like I think he messes it up in like a car crash at the end of the Blinding Lights, and then he gets it reconstructed for Save Your Tears.
Yeah.
And so, but Blinding Lights, that video is also like about sort of like the danger at night and the bad things he's going to do. So in that way, this video seems kind of like he's like Ed Sheeran's trying to like be The Weeknd and have this persona, except it totally doesn't work because the other song that he put out with this song, Shivers, has nothing, like, it doesn't relate at all to this aesthetic.
Yeah, no.
So, like, if he was really trying to go for The Weeknd, he'd have to, like, have a whole aesthetic that carries across multiple singles and even across an album and across live performances. I don't get that. I think it's just, this is just a one-off dipping into the weekend for one song.
Yeah.
But also, like, the fact that he's wearing this, like, bright pink suit, and The Weeknd has the red suit, or the red jacket, that's, like, his thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
Wow.
But also, that this video is creepy very much in, like, a... It reminds me a lot of Thriller, because, like, Thriller...
By Michael Jackson.
By Michael Jackson, which was this, like, really... catchy dance song, but Michael Jackson turns into a zombie, but he's like got a zombie crew and they're all dancing. So that's the thing, is like The Weeknd's videos are very much like about him as this dangerous character, but like Ed Sheeran's video, like he's got a vampire crew and there's like a whole like dance sequence that integrates the vampire-ness into the choreography. So that's why it reminds me of Thriller.
Ah.
You've seen Thriller.
Yeah. I started it. I got too frightened.
That video used to give me nightmares when I was a kid.
Yeah, but there was a funny, weird part in the video where this, like, warped version, this warped 2D version of, like, regular Ed Sheeran came up, and the vampire Ed Sheeran, like, remember?
Oh, he, like, melted him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really weird.
Yeah, unless you're, if you're not driving or anything right now, you should go watch the video. Yeah. It's pretty wacky. But that actually, if you have nothing else to say, that concludes this episode.
Yeah. Go watch the video. Go yes. Listen to the song. And play with some guitar pedals if you're a guitar player.
Yeah, and in case you forgot, write a review, follow us on socials.
Yeah.
Catch up. Yeah.
What are we talking about next time?
We are talking about an old song from 1995. That I actually really like, and it's not a pop song. We're kind of going out of our range. Well, it is a pop song, but not like a now pop song. It's,
right.
It's old. But we're kind of going out of our range here. I had to free range, Dad.
Fantasy.
Yes.
By
Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
The goat singer.
Yeah. It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be fun.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.